Hello and welcome back to Keeping Up Appearances podcast. I'm Sean and this week you are joined obviously by me. We've also got Griffin, we've got Sean Cunningham and we have Callum. This week you'll notice the absence of Max, who unfortunately he said he's had the man flu for the week. He said if he was on the pod he'd be coughing loads, so he decided against it. I'm just hoping, I texted Callum this before, when I missed a week a couple of weeks ago, for the whole hour I got leathered by all three of you. It was Griffin, Max and Tosh. So I'm just hoping the favour is returned the other way, please.
Get well soon, Max. Hope you're doing okay.
Yeah. I'm Max, I miss you, son. All the best, kid.
You see me, you on, Cal? Pick a side.
I hope he's all right, but yeah, they done you over last time, Sean.
Yeah, thanks, Carl. I appreciate that.
I think you just get called a wimp.
I think that was the nicest thing I got called on the whole episode. Yeah,
yeah, amongst several other things.
Yeah, I called a lot worse than that. Right, yeah,
I was watching it live on the Twitch, Sean. You would have been proud.
You what?
I was watching it live on the Twitch.
Yeah, no, I did. I appreciate that.
Supporting the gang.
I think Max said he is watching it now, so. Yeah, feel free to insult him. That's fine. That's what I'm doing.
I'd have to know what Twitch was to watch you on Twitch.
Are you not down with the kids, Sean? No.
No. I just about know YouTube.
Okay. So Twitch is basically YouTube. Just live streams, but it's mostly gaming from what I can tell.
Yeah.
People playing like Call of Duty or whatever kids play these days. And then we're obviously trying to break into that with this hard hitting podcast. So yeah, if you don't know what Twitch is, you will soon, Sean. Don't worry about that.
Okay.
You never know. Fuck golf might be all the rage on Twitch.
Honestly, all I need is Angry Ginge. Angry Ginge needs to see it. And then we're golden. So but that's the plan. So as you heard, we are live on YouTube and Twitch. If you're listening to this on the podcast, obviously too late. But in future we do this every week. So yeah, try and come on a Monday. 7:30 and you'll see us talking. Right, let's make a start then. Have we been, lads? Callum, it's been a couple of weeks since you've been on now. Any updates for us?
Yeah, it hasn't been too long, has it? Maybe 3 weeks or whatever. Me and Griffin had a week off from the pod last week and ventured to see, what would you call it, Griffin? The James Blake experience.
Spiritual experience, son.
We've been to see James Blake a couple of times, three times. A couple of times in Manchester, once in London. And it was the 16th anniversary of his first album or one of his albums coming out. So there's this thing called Pitch Black Playback. So it's in like a small cinema. Room and you got a blindfold and they played the album like from beginning to end through the cinema, you know, in a blindfold, pitch black playback.
It was absolutely,
just listened to the album, but it was unbelievable, wasn't it?
Honestly, so good.
Absolutely.
No, they're a little independent little startup, you know, like we are.
Just listen to. You wear a blindfold and you listen to an album. What's happened?
At one point, someone stuck me a finger up the arse as well. It was absolute magic.
I get the appeal.
Hey, Callum, the biggest thing that happened to you last week, club you work for have signed James Rodriguez, haven't they? Never mind James Blake, pitch back playback, bollocks. You should be talking about that, shouldn't you?
Pitch back playback was also very good. But yeah, for the lads. So that was a big boost.
Who's that? Is that Minnesota?
Yeah, yeah. Unbelievable signing. Like he's signed for us last week. I think it's only a fairly short-term deal. I think, obviously, getting ready for the World Cup and that. But yeah, obviously a massive name.
As a chief scout.
Yeah, it was me, yeah. I said I'm a lad with a left foot. No, not Sean. Not the other Sean. It's James. So they took James. But yeah, hopefully it works out. I'm sure it will do. But exciting times.
Carl just sent him the link of the goal in the World Cup. Get him in.
Yeah. I've heard of this lad here. You might have seen this goal. Yeah. But I did have a blindfold on when I was watching him. that was exciting. But as was the James Blee. It's all about the Jameses. That was my last week. Was all about the Jameses.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I do you know what? I really wish Tosh was on to hear all about that. Because when I saw the Instagram of you two in the cinema, and I thought it was like watching his concert or something. I actually couldn't speak then. I was on mute because what's going on here? I've never heard it like that. That's
Sean. You know what? You not James Blake, obviously, but like, say if it was, I don't know, like the Jonas Brothers pitchback playback, you would appreciate it more than most people I know. You would love it. It was so, so good.
So James Blake wasn't there.
No, he basically.
We don't know. We had our eyes closed.
Yeah. You listen to an album in a cinema sound system, but obviously they take away your main sense of you know, vision. So you just purely, it was like being in like one of them fucking tank things where you know, like a hypnotic tank. It was amazing. And you didn't have your phone. You didn't, you weren't, no one was videoing it. It was really good.
It was really good.
Can I ask how much you've paid to listen to an album in the dark?
That was going
to
be my next
Tenner, yeah.
Tenner. I waste a tenner on Paddy Power on it every weekend. So you know what I mean? It's basically like doing that, but it was good.
What's happened now is you paid a tenner to listen to a CD with a blindfold on, with a load of album.
It sounds like that, but it was much better. And what an album. What a performer. What an artist.
Like, I can't think of how far down my list. Not only listening to James Blake. If you said to me, go and see James Blake, it'd probably be in the 100,000 to me list of things I want to do.
Ah, you're wrong.
Never mind. Listening to his album with a blindfold on. Which...
Your music taste is like is as bad as Jedward's, though, so Sean, so you don't have an opinion.
I mean, I don't think you know Jedward's music taste.
Well, I bet they like this podcast.
Okay. I mean, that was definitely a diss. So.
Yeah.
Jed would do listen to this podcast, but it has to be in the cinema with a blindfold on.
We could get Jedward on this podcast. I'm pretty sure.
You know what? We actually should do that one day.
Let's do it.
When this podcast goes big, we'll just pick an episode and just get everyone, all the fans coming in, sit in the dark with it on. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Sorry, Carl, I've just texted you. Have a look at that for us, please.
It's about his sound.
Yeah, and he's the imposter for the day. Nice one, Cal. Any news from you then, Sean? Have you had any kind of out-of-body experiences like they have?
I mean, I've started playing paddle again after about 6 weeks off, but that's about it.
Why did you stop? Just because it was cold?
Just being a fat bastard over Christmas, yeah. Well, yeah, it's hard to get caught these days as well, because they're all inside. They all get booked up dead quick, so just managed to get some. I was off on Friday, so we got them during the day and we can get them then. But I fell in love with it again. I'm back to 3 games a week now.
we've massively fell off in terms of. Sorry, I'm just aware Callum's not recording anymore. Callum, speak for me.
He's back on. It seems
he's not recording.
Falls a bit without Max.
Yeah, it is.
No, I'm not being funny, Sean. This is what happens when you invite Callum to do anything. It goes wrong.
I just don't know what to do. Max, help me. Right, Cal, do me a favour. Leave and come back. or don't.
Or just leave.
Yeah. Right, Cal, do that.
Upload this podcast on Strava, please.
Yeah. Although Callum told us the story about the blindfold, that's the goal we need. Just a shame it's It's been recorded. It's been recorded on Taser.
I wish Callum had sold it a lot better, to be fair, because it was absolutely... You would love it, John, I swear to God.
You get how it sounds, though.
Of course. Absolutely. Yeah, okay. Even when we went, we were like, this could be absolutely anything, but like, it could be like a way... The venue was like some random little place in the outskirts of Manchester. I was like, oh, God. I was like, check your pockets before we go.
Right.
Yeah, me and Cal was, because me and Cal are going to see the Streets do Grand Don't Come For Free rerun. And we were talking about that, but I'm pretty sure he's opening his eyes for that one.
Yeah, it's not, yeah. I mean, when it was in a cinema seat, I was pleased. I was thinking, fucking hell, I'm going to put a blindfold on a crowd full of people.
Yeah.
Sean, you're probably not going to like this, but I've got a theory about the Streets. My theory is...
Sean, there we go. Just get ready for this, because this could be absolutely anything.
I'm open. Oh, yeah, Callum's coming back just in time. I think the Streets are for people... The Streets are for stupid people or normal people that want to seem clever. That's what the Streets are.
Are you talking about like the band, the Streets? Like the group?
No, like when you go outside, obviously.
Yeah, well, you're very wrong.
I'm not. I promise you, I'm not. The streets aren't good, but people want to make out that they've got a better music taste.
Why is it clever?
Because Sean O'Hara is based is the last 20 years of knowing Sean. He said stuff like this all the time. It's like when he weak sees a shit house. Yeah, get over it, Sean. Okay, what next?
I actually don't know what that means.
Well, you always got these statements that are just totally banal that you believe 100%. It's like, oh my God, oh yeah, we are. Just to go against the curve.
I just think if you were trying to pretend to be clever, the Streets is a weird...
It's not. Because Mike Skinner, I know you'll say this is just opinion, but I think... Some people, I'm not going to throw you two under the bus because I know
you'll
be fuming.
Throw Callum. Callum is.
But I think I've always said this. Callum's always trying to get me into the Streets. I just don't get it. I think because he speaks, he doesn't sing, he doesn't rap, he just speaks. It's as if he's saying something deeper than he is. He's not.
The album is about him losing a grand. It's literally, it's not some deeper than story.
Then that's my issue. It's like, oh God, isn't he great? He can make an album all about that. I just don't get it, mate. Because the Streets pop up on my algorithm every so often where they come back into like the mainstream, and it's just like I just think it's a joke.
He's a genius, like Mike Skinner.
There you go. That's proving my point.
Callum, you're baiting it. It's like the red rag to a bull. That is the red rag to a bull.
He is not a genius. I'm sorry. He's not.
It is genuinely my favourite album, though. I think it's the best album of all time.
So, yeah, okay. I completely disagree, and I understand in the moment.
That's music.
I'm in the...
That's music.
No, and that's fine. But I just think, I don't know, I just think I get criticised as Griffin just done for liking the Jonas Brothers.
I don't criticize you based on that because I know your music taste and I respect it to an extent. But I mean, anyone who likes anything that you don't like is either like, you know,
that's not true.
Yeah, but like that's what's confusing me with the Streets, because the Streets isn't like highbrow. Do you know what I mean? It's just...
No, but it's
the Street. I mean, I agree with Sean. The Streets are shite. Their music is awful. Totally. I even though I like a bit of something a bit different, I don't get it. But as you say, Sean, that is music. It's completely opinionated, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's all about when you listen to it as well. So it was when I was 12, 13, you know what I mean? It just stuck.
Yeah.
So it's like...
But again, I get that.
It's like Callum, when he listened to it, you know, when he was out and about in the streets when he was 12, 13, you know.
So,
out and about.
Do you know what I will say? I'll end it on this, because I know you're saying it's music opinion, and of course it is, and... Again, we all have our opinions. You all think that...
But you hate the popular opinion. You always have.
Well, how can you say that when all I've ever been accused of is liking mainstream music? All I'm ever accused of is
it's not like that. It's not my, the same. Anyone likes anything mainstream, you hate.
So the Jonas Brothers aren't mainstream.
The Jonas Brothers when you're 33 is considered a bit weird.
Well, the Jonas Brothers are actually quite popular now. Like among society, they're quite cool.
Yeah, amongst 12-year-old girls and you.
But so I'm going to go back to this. What I will say, the last thing on the streets is, I think some streets fans will make out, and this isn't everybody. They will make out that they can see music. They understand it deeper than I do because I think it's rubbish. Whereas the Jonas Brothers, when they sing about Waffle House, they're talking about a Waffle House. That's it.
It's simple. Yeah, and you can't. You're never out of Waffle House. Can you just relate to that?
Honestly, when I was 12, 13, I was always in the Waffle House. Always.
Yeah, I'm in the Waffle House constantly now. I'm not going to answer this fact.
Yeah.
That's what this podcast should be called, Waffle House.
Yeah. Welcome, listeners, to the Waffle House.
Anyway,
yeah. Griffin and Sean Cunningham, supporters, advocates of the Waffle House. No offence, Sean.
But yeah.
I love waffles and talking waffles.
Yeah, I thought you meant talking waffle, yeah. But yeah, fair enough.
Not both.
I knew it would be an unpopular opinion, but if this goes out as a clip, I'm intrigued to see who agrees with me. All the hipsters will disagree with me, as we know they will. Anyway, let's move on to something a bit less controversial. Something that we were all really interested in this weekend. Let's talk about some football. Obviously, this weekend, it was the FA Cup. My main question, based on probably, knowing you, is... Where do you stand on the FA Cup currently? As in, is it a big thing for you? Do you care about it? Were you interested over the weekend? I know in the past, Tosh has and will always kind of talk very highly of the FA Cup. I'm wondering if you lot agree. Anyone?
I think the magic probably is still there. I haven't watched it. When Everton get knocked out, I kind of check out of that competition because I get annoyed that we've wasted another opportunity with that year. But the magic is still there. Like, you've seen that free kick for Mansfield. I did see that. And that was the celebrations for that is unbelievable, isn't it? For a team like that to beat a Premier League team. It's great to watch. I don't think it's like all consuming as it used to be. It's like it must be great for Mansfield fans, but I don't know. I don't feel that romanticism to it anymore.
Yeah. I think the opportunity for a smaller club to just have the chance of playing at, home or away against the Premier League club, it is rare nowadays. But I think for all of us, or maybe even more so for me, obviously you're all Blues, but as a well-established Premier League club who win things, and that's no disrespect to Everton. Everton winning the FA Cup would be a massive thing, and that's fair enough.
Yeah, for sure.
I just don't think it has enough weight anymore because of the financial restrictions that win the league, the Premier League, the Champions League has. So you'll see the top teams rest a load of players. You'll even see West Ham yesterday. Against who did they play? Was it?
Remember.
Yeah, they changed 10 players. Now, West Ham, to do that, I thought it was a bit shocking. I think that shows a bit of what on earth. But ultimately, their goal is to survive in the Premier League. And the Premier League is more financially rewarding than the FA Cup nowadays. And that's what, as we've spoke about before, it is the goal, isn't it? It's financial.
Fair. I understand that with the likes of West Ham, because the amount of fixtures you need to play now, it's crazy, isn't it? So I actually understand West Ham doing it, because they would happily give an exit in the FA Cup now to guarantee safety. It's not even close. Go on.
The fans, though, if you think about West Ham fans, imagine them going on a cup run. Imagine them getting to the FA Cup final, West Ham fans now.
Yeah. They ticked that box through the year, didn't they, when they won the Europa League or Conference League, whatever they won.
I agree with what Sean's saying, 100%, and he's absolutely right. But if you just think about football as like what it used to be, like football as a fans game, West Ham going through a cup run, same with Everton. You know, but then that's what you want.
See, Everton, we rest the players, and that's why I was so annoyed, because we've got nothing else to play for. It's the same with Burnley. Burnley rested loads of players and they lost against Mansfield yesterday, and I don't understand that. It's the same. It's the same argument with Everton. If you're not playing for anything else, why not go for it? I don't understand that attitude. But with the likes of West Ham, you can see that they value things other than the FA Cup, and that's a problem now, because the FA Cup used to be valued first, even over the league, didn't it? When we were kids.
Yeah.
And it's nowhere near that now.
Yeah. No, it's not. It just isn't. That's a fact.
Like Sean, I Everton go out like kind of check out about a bit. I mean, to be honest, obviously now we're recording it as Macclesfield are playing. I would have watched that, because that was kind of like the only real like potential giant killing of the round. I just think, I don't know if this is even right, but it's how it feels to me. But when we were younger watching it, like all the games were like Saturday 3 o'clock, and like loads of me on it, and you'd be kind of watching it all at once, kind of thing, and it'd be just a bit more exciting. And now it's like spread throughout what 4 days, and it just doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't seem like it's one big single occasion. It just seems like very spread out in that. And obviously, like we're saying it from positions of like being Premier League fans, I'm saying we're a bit bored of it with this and that, but like, imagine those like League Two clubs, the League One clubs, or even like Macclesfield that below, and they're like, even to play anyone, just being that third round, being the fourth round, it's like that's something that once in a pretend like a lifetime kind of thing for them, maybe. So I think to say it from like our position,
I was saying just before we went online, so the boss of my company who I work for, recruitment, owns or has shares in Macclesfield as well, so they're all work tonight, so at the game, and like the Brandon's all around thing, I it is literally like you know, it's they're all buzzing, and I'm kind of like a bit on the, obviously as a Liverpool fan, a bit like, oh, good luck and all that, but for them they are all absolutely fully invested. This is like the best thing to happen since sliced bread, you know what I mean?
It is. Well, you seen how excited I was with Southport with the FA Trophy, and this, the FA Cup is the same, Macclesfield the same league as Southport.
Yeah.
The FA Cup is 10 times that. Just the money alone that they've brought in for the last two rounds will pay for their next 2 years. So it's like, it's absolutely huge for them.
Each and the fans.
Yeah, definitely. And for the fans, it's massive. But that's what I was saying before. I think like it's localised now. So like, I've got an interest in watching Macclesfield, but do you remember I think you mentioned it the other week about having some Waterlooville playing Liverpool. That just felt bigger. I felt like the whole of football was just enwrapped by it all.
But
and now this doesn't seem the same.
Do you not think, though, because I was just going to come in on a couple of different things. Do you think, because we're saying that all these clubs are dropping players and like they're obviously playing like weakened squads. I'll go to you, Sean, about like Southport, for example. Say Southport got to where Macclesfield are, and obviously Macclesfield have played Palace and now Brentford.
Yeah.
What, maybe it's a difference between fans and owners. What matters more? Would it be playing the bigger teams or getting further? So, like, would they rather get further and not play, like, the Premier League teams?
It's 100% playing the bigger teams, yeah.
But then, say your brother, would it be get further?
No.
Oh, really?
It's the revenue that it brings, isn't it?
Yeah. So what they want and what Southport were looking for is, because I think we got to the last qualifying round, the FA Cup, so it was close. You look for a big away day. You don't want a home game. You want away, because if you get a Prem or a Championship team, it's not actually written in it, but it's like an unwritten rule in football that if you play someone non-league or in League Two, you give half of the gate. So, I think there was a headline about City not giving half the FA writing to City to make them not give half their gate to Paul Bale or whoever it was they're playing, which caused uproar because people don't understand why the FA would ask City not to do that. But it seems most teams do that. So although Macclesfield got that unbelievable result against Palace, their main monetary benefit for that would have been qualifying.
Yeah.
So that in that circumstance, but if they would have got Palace away, it would have been far, far more for them to lose and be away than win and be at home. That's how drastic the difference is.
So do you not get money then simply by getting into the next round?
Yeah, you do, but it's nowhere near half of a Premier League gate. Okay. Nowhere near it. I think it's around $100,000.
Okay.
Which is for clubs in that league, it could be a month's worth of losses. Yeah. That type of money. So it's not life changing, but half of a gate is.
Yeah.
So that's why Macclesfield's got two home games in a row now.
Yeah.
So now that people were saying like, oh, it's great because they've got the holders, and then they got Brentford. The owner must have been kicking himself. He's managed to draw two Premier League teams. I mean, not kicking himself, because obviously it's unbelievable they got to this stage. They've got more money than they ever would have dreamed of. But had they have drawn Palace away and Brentford away, that would have been them set for 10 years.
Yeah.
So it's all about getting the big teams. Yeah,
I think as well. I think this is why it's not as good anymore, and it's not as romantic anymore, because they took away the replays as well. Do you think these smaller clubs? It used to be that you might just thought they might have nicked the draw on 90 minutes and like they get a draw and then they get the big, the replay, which is like their payday. That was like what it was, and the replay was the payday. But now, say Macclesfield somehow take Brentford to a draw, they're not going to, it's much harder, I think, to then go and get, just keep that a draw the next 20 minutes when Brentford make one sub and go and beat them 3-0.
Who made that decision? Who made that decision to take the replays? Right, like, what was that based upon?
Probably based on
it's fixed the congestion.
People like your man, your ex manager. That's who it's based on. People like Klopp moaning about it, saying that they didn't want to play.
There we go.
He's meant to be.
It is though. That's what it's for.
But that's not because of Klopp, Callum. What Sean's saying is fix the congestion. That's not Klopp.
It's all the big six managers and all those big...
He didn't stop moaning about it.
But I'm not being funny now, but fair enough.
Just beat the non-league team in 90 minutes. Stop playing weakened sides and just beat them, and then you don't have a replay.
Well, I agree with that to an extent. And I also... what I was trying to say about the replay was a good thing. And then Callum's already come in with this, you know, blue mantra, which is fair enough, but I mean, if you are a top team like Liverpool, where competing on all fronts, which doesn't happen very often anymore, then that is ridiculous. The amount of games that footballers have to play nowadays is ridiculous, and I'm sure you agree with that, being a fitness guru. So you know, that's one of the things that I'd start with. The FA Cup replay, like Sean said, Sean Cunningham. That replay, that revenue stream of being an away game, is life and death, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's got to be an aim. But for the big clubs like Liverpool, you know, not Everton, because they'd happily take a replay.
We haven't got a game for a month now. We need replays.
Well, yeah. My one thing I was going to say before Callum just annoyed me. My favourite memories of Liverpool Football Club growing up is Istanbul Champions League. But prior to that was Gerrard FA Cup final and Erwin FA Cup final. They were big, big moments, big games. That was what it was all about. And the best teams in the league or the best teams in the country played in games. And sometimes it wasn't the best team. Obviously, West Ham, Pardew. That West Ham team, though, you know, were a good team. Imagine what it must have meant for them to go to Wembley. Now, you go to semi-finals Wembley.
Yeah, that's the main problem. That
it's just absolutely, it's almost like, it's like bullshit. Yeah. Like, for want of a better word, it is bullshit.
That is a joke. It's all just to pay for Wembley, isn't it? That's what
The fans also have to travel to Wembley. You know, from Mayside, you know, as an example, like, you know, U3, you go to Wembley, 200 quid for saying train. The ticket is what, £100? You're talking the best part of £1,000 to go to Wembley with you know, imagine if you took your kid nowadays. Now, you know, three of us have got kids. Imagine taking your kid to Wembley.
Yeah.
You're talking £1,000 to go to the FA Cup final. And that's what that...
But on the flip side of that, like, probably my favourite ever day as an Everton fan would be that penalty shootout at Wembley against United, and that was a semi-final. So that wouldn't have happened. So for the smaller clubs, I agree with you, by the way. I think it's a joke that semis are at Wembley, but if for smaller clubs, for us to have that day at Wembley was just, honestly, it was just unbelievable.
Chance, to be able to be there.
And I get that, and I do buy into that a little bit, but
it takes the magic away of it, doesn't it? Of kind of.
I do also think that would have been the same if it was at Villa Park or St James's Park. It would have been the same, wouldn't it?
I'm not sure you were there because you think, oh, what a great stadium this is. So that's why you enjoyed the moment. Don't the fact that it was a great day. But I do think I know you're arguing with the Griffin or whatever, but I think it is the fact that the so-called bigger clubs have kind of moaned about it so much that they've kind of took away the beauty of it. I actually think they disrespected a bit. I don't think the...
You know what, Callum? I agree with you. I think that disrespect. But I just don't agree with you just calling up Klopp.
No, I'm saying he was one of the biggest. He was always going on about the fixtures.
But he's one of the biggest advocates like Pep for modern day footballers who get overworked. And like we live in a culture and society now where every job is overworked. You know, everyone needs this. Footballers are exactly the same.
I get it, and you're right. But my argument to that would be
who called Klopp out specifically.
I agree with the Klopp out specifically. He was always
he was one of the main ones. What I'm saying is,
he moaned about everything.
Trent will never play a full season ever again in his life because he played 100 games a season.
Don't play him then.
But you can't don't, have
you
a
can't
team.
Moan about
that's
playing 80
squad
games.
Works.
But the, of course it is. If
it
you're
isn't.
Playing Burnley at home, Trent doesn't need to start.
Or you play the FA Cup against a weak team, you rest all the players. So then where do we go from this
thing would be with instead of moaning about replays, make sure it doesn't go to a replay. And like you should be strong enough to beat these teams. So don't play such a weak
side. So look at it from an Everton perspective of a Premier League team, well established, who you should have a second team go and beat a League Two team. If it goes to replay, no. It's exactly the same argument. It doesn't matter if you're top one or top four or top 10.
The club can make that decision on whether they play. That's up to the club. You can't then moan about it afterwards. If you say, "Oh, we've got 100 games and these players are overloaded," then rest them. That's your decision as a manager. That's what you get paid to do.
So long do you rest them, Sean? I'm asking you in the FA Cup games.
If he wants to, yeah, but then don't moan about it afterwards. Do you know what I mean?
Then what does that make of the FA Cup or the League Cup? I mean, that's the initial debate, isn't it?
Yeah, but the whole thing with that is that he then would then play the strongest team in the league, regardless of who they were playing.
Because you want to go and win the four trophies. You want to compete on all fronts. So your best player, your best right back you've ever had for a club is Trent. You play him at the biggest games. So the cup games he plays, the league games he plays. So when do you rest him?
Yeah, so if the alternative is to rob the lower leagues of this lifeline that they've got, do you not think it's just... He's like wanting his cake and eating it, isn't he? It's like he wants every eventuality. If you care that much about the welfare for the players, don't play them.
I agree to an extent, but then we go back to the initial argument of the magic of the FA Cup. The FA Cup used to be the biggest competition. Paul Merson was on the overlap a week or two ago. He said, never mind the league, the FA Cup was the biggest one. The FA Cup, go and win the FA Cup.
Can I also
replay? But look at them now. They're still resting players. There's no replays now. They're still resting them more than ever. It's not worked. It's not made a difference. They just found something else to moan about.
Can I also just say, though, that, like, I'm going back to something you said about a couple of minutes ago, Griffin, about, like, Klopp talking about overworked players. And, like, we're in a society of people being overworked. I agree. Like, every day I come home from work and I'm absolutely goosed. And I don't want to make it about money, but we're talking about the livelihoods of Trent Alexander-Arnold, who's on 300 grand a week, compared to the player he's playing, who plays for Mansfield.
Of course.
Or like a Southport, who's working in the day, working all week. And then, but that's it. That's like, you're talking about Klopp, caring about the players. He cares about his players.
You know what? I hate that argument because I agree with everything you said. You know, Van Dijk moaning about he gets paid £350,000 a week. But if you're talking about like modern day, a footballer is a job at the end of the day. So if he goes as a top player, an elite player like Orlando, goes from Premier League, where he play every week, to then go into the World Cup or, you know, the Club World Championship and then straight back into Premier League and then the next season into that again and again and again and again. it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter how much money you get paid, you're a human being. And I know yous all agree with that. That is too much. So Pep and Klopp have been vocal about the fact that this modern day game, which involves 100 games a year or whatever it may be, is ridiculous. And I think we all agree with that. That is, you can't expect an athlete to just go bang, 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 bang. That's why they've all got ACLs. That's why they've all got injuries. Callum is probably the best person to speak about this.
I do agree, and I don't think the money... I agree with what you're saying. I don't think the money makes a difference. And I get what Sean's saying, that they've played a lot, and it sounds bad that they're moaning, but I don't actually think the money doesn't make them any kind of physically stronger.
No.
You work every day for 10 years.
What I say is, though, the FA Cup's always been that, and it's not the FA Cup's fault, but they're kind of taking it out on the FA Cup because they think it's, like, worthless. And that's what I mean by disrespecting it. They're like, they've never taken it out on UEFA. And saying that, UEFA have changed this, and UEFA have changed and doing all this. They take it out on because they see it as a little FA Cup, and it's not that valuable to them, which goes towards the disrespecting of it all. I think that's
a perfect roundup.
I do think the money, all of you three don't seem to think the money plays any. I honestly find it mad how we let these millionaires, and we sympathise. Where we go, oh God, they haven't got it hard. They haven't got it hard at all.
I'm sorry,
but it isn't. Your career's short. You're paid well enough in that short term to know that you're sound forever. So you are Raheem Sterling now, who's going to Feyenoord. He's about 33.
He's a bad example because he is. I mean, I can't think of a word, so I'm going to say he's a twat.
Well, fact. I don't understand. That's not relevant. But he doesn't have to work on a day for the rest of his life. So he's fine.
Yeah, but Sean, so if you are, as an example, you've got kids, you work. Imagine being, so Virgil van Dijk is the person I'm thinking of. He is getting paid £350,000 a week, so we can't relate to that. It's an obscene amount of money that we will never earn. And, you know, it will take us years and years, maybe our whole life, to earn as much as he earns in a month. Fine, and I agree with that. He still works he still has to go to work every day. He still comes home from work, which is training, which I know we might think is not work. He still goes out and has kids. I think he's got 4 kids. He still has to go on Christmas Day to train away from his kids. No, Sean, but I think that takes its
it's
toll.
Not, it's the biggest of the nonsense.
Of course, his wife, although she's got everything in her life that she'd ever want, must go, well, can I never see you? Because she's always doing this.
I get it's hard, but he goes to work every day. Footballers famously on every podcast, every interview, they go, do you know what? On a Tuesday, I go in for an hour. I have a little run. An hour's work. I'm coming home.
I'm not siding, Sean. I'm not. I used to work 80 hours a week, mate. I'm not siding with them.
I honestly think
I hate them for that. But you have to. It's normal. It's modern day life.
It's if we bring it back again to the. I'll go bring it back to the FA Cup in the way I'm talking about it. We're saying that these players, they get rested for these big games, and you've got these non-league teams or lower league teams that they're coming up against. These millionaires, and it's not their choice. I understand that it's the managers. It's almost like they go, you're not worthy of me playing them against you. So my point is, you've got Mansfield who just beat Burnley. Burnley, you are absolutely crap. They didn't even play some of the best players. Not that they've got many of them. So I remember like the giant killings, as we call them back in the day. Like I even remember 2 for Everton when Tranmere beat us and when Shrewsbury beat us. They felt massive because, again, not that we had a particularly good team then, but we played the full strength team. Those league, whatever Shrewsbury were in League One then, beat a full strength Everton team in the Premier League. Mansfield are buzzing now. But secretly they must be going, I mean, they didn't even bother showing up. These players didn't even bother showing up. As much as like we can go great in the next round, if the play and the managers don't even care enough, I do think it's just a thing of like we put everything into these millionaires. Like you've all gone, they've got a hard life. I'm sorry, I'll die on this hill. They don't have a hard life. They don't. And when you say they don't have to work.
None of us are saying all three of us. None of us are saying
they've got it hard. It's not a hard life. That's not
no one's saying that, Sean, and you know that isn't. No one is saying that.
I'll be honest. I don't. I don't have sympathy for people who don't have sympathy for me. They don't know I exist. Like, you go to the match every week and you clap them off. And I've talked on this with you, Callum, about like stand innovations, and everyone stands up for these millionaires who, half the time, if you go outside and ask them for a picture, just walk past you.
Have you seen the Chelsea Wolves thing come out recently on TalkSport? They all walk past all the kids. Every Chelsea player walks past. Oh, there's about five or six Wolves kids. Sean, I think we all agree with you. I'm not sitting here saying, I'm fucking, Virgil van Dijk, fair enough, you have to rest him. He's like a Rolls Royce. I totally agree. You know, we all work, all four of us, our bollocks off to an extent. I know Callum doesn't, but, you know, all three of us. I mean, listen. They get paid £350,000 a week, which we will never dream of. So I'm not siding with them. I just think you have to take into account what we spoke about. That does play a part. They are normal. They are human beings. If your missus, if Sean O'Hara, if you were lucky enough to ever brag enough to become a professional footballer, and you said to your missus, right, I'm going to play every weekend. I've got to train every single day. And then I'll see you next summer because I've got to go away. I'll see you, but I've got to do this. I've got to do this.
It's not.
Of course it is. That's exactly what it is.
You're saying.
That's why players pay now. That's exactly what Klopp and Pep are arguing.
We should feel sorry for them because they have to wear Christmas Day.
I
worked in a care home on minimum wage. And I wear Christmas Day a couple of years running. Who felt sorry for me?
I've worked Christmas Day as a waiter. I've been bollocked on Christmas Day. I've not uttered the words feel sorry for them because that's the way Christmas Day. That I haven't said that. I'm saying that still does take its toll as a human on a relationship with kids, with a job, with everything. That is a lot to do. So when you do that every single day of the year and the summer and you don't have a break, you don't have, like we all have, you know, 2 weeks holiday, take your missus away.
So these footballers don't have, and they don't have, Sean, how much annual leave do you have?
Yeah. This is just my argument for the sake of my argument.
No, it's not. You've got an opinion. You can say it.
I've got an opinion.
I'm not allowed to say it. So, Sean,
I agree with you. I'm on your side.
How much annual leave do you get, Sean?
You should have picked someone else because I get absolutely. All right.
How much annual leave do you get? How much annual leave do you get?
I get 28 days now, but I also kill myself in last job.
That's like, say, about 5-6 weeks. You're saying they don't have breaks, even though Arne Slot takes Liverpool away every couple of weeks. Jack Grealish is in Ibiza whenever he fancies it.
He's not meant to be, that's the problem.
Doesn't matter. What happens to him? Nothing. Nothing happens.
The player welfare thing honestly doesn't bother me because they're not playing themselves. What annoyed me is the, like, Klopp was the worst for it. I know you don't like hearing Nicola Liffen, but Klopp was the worst for it. He preached
Klopp is the advocate for it.
Because if he cared that much, he would rest them players. He cared more about his job than he cared about them as human beings. All he was doing was protecting his job. If he cared that much about the human beings, he'd give them a rest, wouldn't he? Of course he would. He's got it within their power to go, listen, you could take a week off, go to Dubai, go to wherever you want to go to. But he doesn't because he wants to win games.
Because he has to
for his job.
Exactly. Because the powers that be have to win games. That's just what I said.
So he's valuing his own career over them being human beings. And Klopp used to talk like he was the saviour of these players when it's within his power to let them have a break, and he chose not to.
I'm not disagreeing with you because that does make sense, but then he gives the players a break on the FA Cup weekend, and then we're talking now about the magic of the FA Cup and it doesn't mean anything anymore.
No, we were talking, but it started with the replays, and nothing's changed with the replays going. Do you know what I mean? The lack of fixtures hasn't changed the teams
What also has changed is the Champions League structure. You know, that's more games. So that's almost reversed it.
But then I think the point is, you're suffering, isn't it? The only people suffering
the only people
are the lower league
teams. Are the fans and the footballers.
And the lower league teams as well. They were suffering.
Of course. That's why clubs fold all the time. Gary Neville kicked off about it. I think we're all arguing the same point
in a
roundabout way.
I mainly my main point is that Klopp's an op-ed, though, so I don't think we're all quite arguing the same point.
I haven't mentioned Klopp, yeah.
Go on, Sean.
Yeah, I agree.
Right, let's lighten the mood then. Let's move on to, because in the past...
Oh, fuck off, Sean.
Oh, you can't do it on Twitch. You're going to get us demonetized.
Sorry.
Hello, honestly. Two weeks in a row now.
Everyone close their eyes. Sean's going to sing.
Sorry, mate.
Yeah, all I was going to say was in the last, whatever, 2 hours or so, the fifth round draw has been done. Have you seen it?
No. Who did Macclesfield get?
So,
I'm still waiting for the Macclesfield-Brentford game.
Macclesfield, if they beat Brentford, they will come up against West Ham away.
Oh, now that's the big one.
Yeah. So there are two other big games as well. So you've got Mansfield at home to Arsenal, which, again, if it was the other way around, but still, like...
Still great. Yeah, still great. Yeah. Right?
They could beat them at home.
And then the other big game, which I think could be... I think it's probably the game of footy I'm going to hate most in the history of football. It's Wrexham at home to Chelsea.
Ugh.
Which, can you imagine Liam Rossini in the build-up to that game? With all like...
He is a top-level idiot.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you might hate Klopp. I get it, but...
Have you seen the... someone's took a short clip of him in his post-match interview, and they've zoomed in on his glasses. And his glasses don't magnify. His glasses don't do anything. He's just waiting them to look clever.
He failed as Premier League manager when he didn't take that ball down.
Yeah,
like,
oh.
I mean, that is like. You may as well just quit now.
Do you know the way David Brent used to go like that after that? Like, he did that to the bench, didn't he? He did that to the bench after that. So she's like, oh.
Yeah. And he's like, someone else could do it. And he goes, love me, pathetic. It's like, ready to... He is the most David Brent manager. That's why David Brent is so clever, because he is relatable. He's real, Liam Rossini is David Brent's fat. Yeah.
But I absolutely love that he's in the league, to be honest. We've needed someone to laugh at. They're all too boring with their rehearsed answers and all that. The fact that he is trying to be so clever is the funniest thing in the world to me. Like,
it's hard. Yeah.
He said in an interview, he went, we've played it. Estevao couldn't believe I was a professional. It's like, you played for Fulham and Hull, mate.
Sorry, go on, Carl.
God, I don't want to say with that game, it's like it's a sign of like the Americanization of English football as well. That Todd Bowley and Reynolds and Affleck, it's like a proper. That is a sign of what's happened to English football, and they'll play that game, and it'll be like a show.
Yeah, well, it'll be the big Friday night game, the big main event of the round, won't it?
Did you watch the? Because obviously, I think everyone's watched the Welcome to Wrexham thing. The first series was genuinely interesting to watch. The ones after are insufferable. I don't know if anyone's tried the series after the first one. They are horrific. If you can just watch an hour of them, it's like you can tell that Disney has got hold of it. Do you know what I mean? It's just horrible to watch. It's like they've transformed what was quite a nice, heartwarming story into this Hollywood thing, and it's just insufferable. I hate them. I hope they're busted.
Yeah. I'm assuming we're all on the same page. Like, I'm seeing all the time posts about like Wrexham is sixth in the championship and everyone's buzzing. Like, I can't think of anything worse, to be honest.
I think it would be. It's impressive if they were to go just football wise to do that is hard. I think it's impressive if they go.
It's impressive what they've done on the market in front, and that's where they've got all the money from, isn't it? But. Is it that impressive football terms? Because they just spent £8 million pound on Nathan Broadhead. Do you know what I mean? It's just
like Luton did it,
they just
spent.
I think
you just spent loads of money.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's just a Premier League Newcastle being allowed to do Newcastle in the lower league.
Even the first takeover when they signed like Paul Mullen and stuff, when they first took over, Paul Mullen was on like League One wages in the conference. It wasn't like this romanticised. I mean, the reason the first series is so good is because there was loads on the fans and the, yeah. about them being downtrodden and then having something to celebrate. That was great. But after that, it just becomes icky. Do you know what I mean? Where they're just throwing money at it.
You know what, though? I don't disagree with an owner coming in and spending money. And I think, like, the PSR and all that. Newcastle should be able to spend money. City were able to spend money. Chelsea were able to spend money. That's part and parcel of the game now. I think Wrexham going up is not a bad thing. It personally.
I completely agree with you in that I think Newcastle should be able to spend money. I think it's like telling of like the system that everyone's allowed to spend money until Newcastle gets took over and then stop.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I would say, if Wrexham did come up, obviously it's in a similar vein. But I wish this narrative that it's romance, like kind of like what you've just said, Callum. Yeah. I wish that would stop. That it's like, what a story, and you go, is it? Is it what
that's
story?
What I mean.
Just get investments in it. Yeah. You just get investment. But I do think like Newcastle and Villa now are prime examples of where it just got a bit wrong. It's like
Wrexham's different though, because Wrexham's money has come from the club. Where they will never face PSR issues because the amount of money they've made for marketing, that's what's bankrolled it. So they will in time come into the Premier League, I'm sure, with the amount of money they get from Disney and whatever, and they will be able to spend. They won't be if they carry on generating the marketing at the same rate, there won't be a ceiling for them like there is Newcastle. The reason they have a ceiling at Newcastle is because they don't bring any money in. So
what's wrong even if they didn't?
If they didn't what?
Well, if they got into Premier League and without they didn't have that bankroll of.
Oh, no, I've got nothing like Tosha on the episode a few weeks ago. They're a proper club, Wrexham. I've got no problem with them having investments, and it's how you haven't seen the documentary, so it's hard to explain it, but it's how it's romanticised, this underdog story in the documentary is just insufferable to watch, honestly. At the first series, it had that charm to it because it was these two massive celebrities coming into a club that were downtrodden for so long. So that had it then. But then after that, it just become, I don't know, just become like everything else. And that's what I didn't like about it. But no, I've got nothing against Wrexham as a whole. I hate that disingenuous like narrative behind things. It just, I don't know. Just doesn't give me the...
I don't think if they were to go up now, I don't think that's an underdog story for them to get promoted now. But the thing at the beginning was an underdog story. But I just think, just like football in terms to get that so right, like consecutively, that I think that is just impressive. Like, imagine if Everton made that many right decisions in a row.
I just think at that lower level, it's hard to get it wrong. When you come into the Premier League, that's when spending money's hard because you've then got to pick from the cream of the crop. Whereas in the lower leagues, they just went two divisions higher and got the goal scorers.
Yeah, I don't. They won't be rich.
You're never going to not win.
At
the end of last season, I think it was like Gareth Seddon, who was on like the first season of the Wrexham thing, or someone along them lines was on a podcast and they were saying they shouldn't be promoted to the Championship because the training ground and the stadium and the infrastructure just isn't ready for it. Like they've got the setup still terrible. They were still training on like muddy pitches and stuff. And I can't imagine they've managed to catch up that quickly to get promoted this year as well. They might get found out on that front, but if they throw enough money at it, they'll probably be able to fix all that, wouldn't they? So I honestly don't mind them as a club. It's just that disingenuous underdog thing that I don't know, just sets the wrong tone for me. Like.
Yeah, I agree. They're probably the main draws. The other one being Liverpool away at Wolves, which, as far as draws go,
God.
Not bad, is it?
I wonder what squad he's going to play there.
They're going to be talking about Jota so much.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Boring.
Do me a favour.
I'm not sure I'll be able to clip this.
That will annoy
I don't want to go viral for the wrong reasons. Sorry, Sean.
You can clip it up. I don't care. They only mention them when they lose.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually, to do, yeah. Right, we'll leave the FA Cup chat there because obviously maybe we are more passionate than I thought we were. So, what I'm going to do, though, we'll end on a closing question, as we always do. This is based on something I've been enjoying recently, a game I've been enjoying, and again, it's not one of mine. I've been really enjoying the Winter Olympics. I don't know if anyone has been watching it, has ever watched it. Some of the sports I actually quite enjoy, some that I didn't think I would enjoy. So, mainly, I enjoy watching the curling. I was watching ice hockey earlier, and the ice hockey was as bad as it gets in terms of as a viewer. So my question to you is, what do you think is the best sport in terms of like a spectator sport? And what do you think is the worst spectator sport? As a fan, what would you like to go and see and what would you not like to go and see?
Question. In the not just in the Winter Olympics.
Yeah, it is Drogba.
Not just in the Winter Olympics. Hey.
No, in general, any sport.
Are we taking football as red?
Yeah, yeah, keep football out of it.
No, Callum, the answer's football. Fucking hell. Yeah, no, I can't see. I'd love to see Everton in the Champions League final. It's me in the Quidditch World Cup. I'm holding the house cup. Cheers, Callum. Yeah, nice one for you. But anyway, that's been Keeping Up Appearances. Good night.
Oh my god.
See, the best sport to watch is actually hard because the most exciting is probably like boxing or UFC, but then you've got to watch it in a room full of absolute helmets.
Yeah,
haven't you? So
that's the issue, yeah.
Yeah, so I couldn't say them, even though I do like watching them.
I've got an answer.
Go on.
Roger Federer at Wimbledon.
It's not a bad joke.
I don't think he's after specifics.
Just the sport. I don't want one match ever. I want, like, what would you like to watch?
I'm going to go for a controversial one.
I'm going to go for a controversial one. Go on,
it would be golf. Just because I'm going to the Open this year. Not watching on telly. Being there. So you're going to be in the sun for 8 hours with a bevy. Just sat on one green watching someone chip balls in. I think, I'm going the final day of the Open this year and I cannot wait for it. It sounds like my dream day. On the same thing as that is also cricket for the same reason. Sat in the sun with a bevy, watching like the final day of the Ashes or something like that. I think that mine's based around the sunshine and bevies, I think.
Do you wish you were going to watch the football Open?
I'm...
Yeah.
I'm going to the Open apparently as well. The final, I'll do the same as you. And I agree with that.
Yeah,
the cricket I can't buy into, unfortunately. I think
the golf would be better. The dart is up there.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Obviously, as a non-drinker, I think like don't get me wrong, I've been to cricket before with Tosh, and like I'm not a big fan of cricket. I like it, but I don't know it very well. I loved it. It was a box. It actually was really good, and like I got into it when I was there. Even though everyone's having a drink, it's just like a dead chilled occasion. I think if I went to darts, I reckon I'd end up fuming.
Yeah, you need to have a bevy at the darts.
Like,
you need to.
Even on the telly watching it, everyone does me head in. All these like attention seekers trying to get on the telly. If I was there and I was getting swilled a pint, oh, I reckon I'd lose my head, mate. So that's why, for me, I'd say no to that.
But when you got, I thought that before I went to the darts, I've been to loads now, but like the I think the first or second time I went, Adrian Lewis got a 9-darter.
Wow. And genuinely, Adrian Lewis.
We were up on the sides of the Echo, and we ended up like 4 rows that it just erupted. It was like a cup final goal. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. So, I've played Adrian Lewis.
Okay.
He was doing a bit of promotion in a Ladbrokes in Sheffield in uni. And because they were playing in the arena, and he just said he'd put on Twitter and that anyone want to come and play. So he started on, obviously on 501. I think I started on 101 or something like that. And I got myself down to double 16 and just couldn't hit it. So no matter how much.
That's quite true.
Yeah. And then he just obviously just seen me off. But I got to double 16 against Adrian Lewis. So that's quite cool.
I think obviously, I know we're joking about it. Football definitely is the right answer. But I think that's because if you were to watch any level of football, I think it's great. But if you were to watch like rubbish people playing cricket or rubbish people playing darts, you wouldn't watch it. But any kind of level of football you'd sit and watch. So I was trying to think like sports like that, where I think like even like grassroots boxing, I bet you would even be quite a a good spectacle, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, but it's just the people in there, isn't it? There's scraps all around it, and
it's a different
topic watching on TV than it is going.
Do you just mean purely the sport? Just purely the sport, or like the occasion?
Just the occasion more, because again, it's all part of it, isn't it? It's like, because basically, if we're not talking about the occasion, we're just talking about the skill itself. Whereas, I mean, you're a fan, we're there with other fans. So, like, as far as like a viewing experience.
Yeah, I'm going golf.
It's a good show.
Yeah, I don't think I've looked forward to anything more than this final day of the Open. It's going to be unbelievable. So I'm going golf, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
If you're saying like a one-off, like the way Griffin said, like Wimbledon final, what would be the... If you just go to like a one-off.
One specific? Yeah, that's a good show. Ask Sean. See what Sean comes up with. Let me guess. Alphabet.
I would potentially say I would like to experience a Super Bowl.
Oh, Sean, that is so...
No, I would too.
It's so
what? I get it.
What?
I actually quite like it. Probably the sport I watch most on the telly after footy is NFL.
That's it.
I watched some of it the other day, and I thought it was boring. I turned off after half time. It was boring. But I think if you were to go and experience it, I think there's probably not many bigger shows.
I watched the Chiefs at Wembley, and it was possibly one of the worst things I've ever watched in my whole life. But the Super Bowl is a different level, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, did you go into the experience of a one-off?
Yeah.
Not many bigger one-off games, is there?
Yeah.
Sean, I thought you loved tennis.
Me?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I quite like tennis, but again...
Federer and Nadal, Wimbledon.
It's not 2008 anymore, Griffin. I know
that was the question. Yeah, but I used to back then, by the way, I used to be starting right back for the B team. I loved it then. God. That was me in my prime.
Again,
you'd have loved it.
Griffin, you are just so living in the past. We need to move forward. Right, let's leave this podcast where it is. Like, share, subscribe.
No, I enjoyed it. Sean, that's the highlight of my week. Honestly, I mean it. See ya.
Yeah. See you later.
Nice one.